Now, this morning when I messaged you, I also said that I would maybe sing happy birthday to you on the podcast. Do you have any feelings about whether that actually happens or not?
It's, you know, I don't feel compelled to. I am fine if you do not.
But are you like, will I make you feel uncomfortable if I sing happy birthday right now?
I might be slightly uncomfortable if you do. Yeah.
All right. So let's do it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I have to say that after about 8 years of podcasting and hundreds of episodes, that I never, ever get bored of doing this show, that I love it as much now as I did when we started. And one of the reasons I think that it stays very fresh and exciting for me is because there are just so many exciting places to go. You can take an amazing RV trip to every single state in this country. And I'm constantly surprised at the variety of places where you can take an amazing RV trip. Today's episode is another example of that. Gretchen Holcomb from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road is back on the show, and she's going to tell us about an RV trip that her and her family took to Detroit. Now, a lot of people don't really think of taking RV trips to major American cities, but in almost every single case, it's possible to camp relatively close to a city and have an amazing RV trip to that city. And Gretchen had an amazing RV trip to Detroit. So we'll be back in a second with Gretchen Holcomb from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road talking about her awesome RV trip to Detroit. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at CampSpot. Let's face it, summers weren't meant to be experienced sitting at a desk or staring at a computer screen. It's time to call time out. CampSpot is here to help. CampSpot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America featuring over 140,000 campsites. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more to find your time out. Whether it's your next epic adventure, girls' night out, or family reunion, CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and no membership fees so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Picture it now. Fresh air in your lungs, cool breeze in your hair, warm hugs in your soul, and that grounded sense of self you'll only find when you spend time out. Book your spring and summer camping trips now. Find your time out. Find your CampSpot at campspot.com. Welcome back to the show, Gretchen Holcomb from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And today, Gretchen, is your birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Not the day this podcast will come out, but the day that we're recording. Now, this morning, I messaged you and I said, we don't have to do this today, Gretchen. It's your birthday. We can reschedule. But you said, no, we're going to record today because you're about to leave for a trip, right?
We are, yeah. We're leaving tonight, so.
RV trip or a different kind of trip?
It is not an RV trip. It's we're visiting colleges with my current senior, so it was supposed to be an RV trip for spring break, but college visits kind of ate our spring break, so.
Now, this morning when I messaged you, I also said that I would maybe sing happy birthday to you on the podcast. Do you have any feelings about whether that actually happens or not?
It's, you know, I don't feel compelled to. I am fine if you do not.
But are you like, will I make you feel uncomfortable if I sing happy birthday right now?
I might be slightly uncomfortable if you do. Yeah.
All right. So let's do it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Gretchen from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road. happy birthday to you. And we just lost about like 10,000 subscribers.
Thanks. You're the first one to sing happy birthday to me today, though. So,
all right. So let's dive into the episode. So we're not going to do like a traditional campground review. We're really going to focus more on kind of taking an RV trip to Detroit and talk a little bit about where you stayed and some of the other options. And then we're going to dive into all the really cool things that you did on your RV trip to Detroit. Does that sound like a plan?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, when we think of big cities, we often don't think of taking the RV to them, but oftentimes there are options. So if we want to take an RV trip to Detroit, like tell us where you stayed and where some other options might be.
Sure. So we stayed at Wayne County Fairgrounds in Belleville, Michigan, which is about half an hour, a little less than half an hour from Detroit in one direction. It's kind of in between that and Ann Arbor. So you're under 30 minutes from either of those cities. So that was a really convenient location for us because we wanted to do stuff kind of all around the area. So, you know, as you might guess from fairgrounds, it's pretty much a big open field. There are not a lot of bells and whistles, no activities or anything like that. But it was, we felt very safe there. It was well maintained and kept pretty clean. So, and it was inexpensive. I think the sites top out at about $44 a night for full hookups. And we actually had water electric, so I'm sure we paid a little less than that.
Being safe and having full hookups for $44 a night is awesome because, I mean, we all know prices have gone bonkers this year. So if I hear about getting a full hookup site for $44 a night in a safe environment, sounds good to me.
Yeah, we were happy with it. Just a few things, a couple of cautionary notes. The bathhouses, not great. Again, they're clean. They were cleaned every day, but very dated. My kids really hated that the walls between the stalls were really low, so you didn't feel very private. So, you know, if you have kids who are squeamish about campground bathhouses, then keep that in mind. And we just had water electric, so we were using the bathhouses a lot. Also, a weird thing about the sites, at least where we were with the water electric sites, is they're set up kind of like buddy sites, like the, you know, your door faces, the door opens onto the door of the trailer next to you. And they are really close together. So we actually didn't have anyone next door to us in that spot the whole time we were there. We were there a week and there was no one next to us. So we had plenty of space. But if they had put somebody in that space right next to us, it would have been just really crowded. And I think they try not to do that if the campground's not full. They try to kind of leave that space empty. But that's just another thing to be aware of. And the full hookup sites area did seem to be a lot more crowded. So
really crowded. But also, I mean, frankly, like for some people, like kind of weird. Like I step out the front door of my RV and I'm watching you step out of the front door of your RV.
Right. It would have been awkward if anyone had been there. And we were, I think I sent a picture with the pictures I sent of our row of sites. So you can kind of see if you put that in the show notes, how close together the sites were, because we did have someone, you know, that we could have on the other side of us backing up to us where we could have just reached out and touched their trailer. But, you know, that didn't really affect us that much since we didn't open our door onto their site.
Now, it's nice to have a buddy site if you're camping with somebody else, like if it's friends and you kind of create that private area in the middle between the two sites. But I wouldn't particularly want one of those sites if it was somebody I wouldn't know. I'd probably also get over it, too. So the proximity like between Ann Arbor and Detroit was really important, right? I just want to emphasize that because people that aren't from the Midwest or aren't super familiar with Michigan might not realize that Ann Arbor's awesome. I know you're going to talk about Ann Arbor later, but Ann Arbor's a really, really cool college town.
Right. Yeah. So it was nice too, because we went into Detroit a couple days, but we spent more days kind of doing other stuff in the area. So being kind of centrally located was great.
And there's such a contrast too between Ann Arbor and Detroit. I mean, like the home of the University of Michigan, right? And like the prototypical college town and then Motor City. So anything else about Wayne County Fairgrounds, or do you just want to quickly mention what some other campground options are if you want to take an RV trip to Detroit?
I can't think of it. I mean, the other thing, it's very close to shopping. There's a lot, you can literally see a Walmart over the wall of the campground. So that's all really convenient too. There's all the shopping and everything there. But yeah, I guess that pretty much sums that up. A couple other options that we considered. but didn't stay at, where there's the Detroit Ann Arbor KOA, which is in Ypsilanti. So that's a little bit farther out from Detroit. It's going to be about 40 minutes from Detroit. Some of the reviews of that were a little scary, but it looks like they're under new ownership now. And the more recent reviews say they're kind of working on it and making improvements. So that might be a good option if you do want more of that campground KOA with more a pool and activities and all that kind of thing. And then I got some recommendations for Proud Lake Recreation Area, which is also about 40 minutes from Detroit in a different direction. It seems to be really popular with people camping from the local area and gets really good reviews.
I would hope that if the KOA is not good at the moment, it would become good. I think that KOA is good because I think this is relatively new as a KOA. I was actually surprised when I saw this in your notes because I know my KOA as well, and I hadn't heard of this one. So if it is under new ownership and you're listening to this podcast, I would certainly check the reviews because campgrounds can change quickly under new ownership. So those sound like two other good options for the Detroit area. Probably not too many more though, right?
That was all we could find. And again, you know, we were almost half an hour outside of Detroit, and that was, I think that's about as close as you can get as far as we could tell. But, you know, that's not too bad for a big city and a campground.
So overall, happy with Wayne County Fairgrounds. Just, you know what it is, that it's very limited.
Right, exactly.
All right. So let's talk about some of the awesome things that you did in Detroit. And I have not stepped foot in Detroit in over 20 years. So I'm kind of excited to hear what you guys did. And you're always so good at finding all the cool things to do. So what are some of your top picks for visiting Detroit?
So in the city of Detroit, so it's kind of, you know, again, we did some stuff that was outside, but we went into Detroit a couple of days. And one morning we went to the Detroit Institute of Arts, which is their big art museum there. And it can compete with pretty much any art museum in the country. And of course, you know, Detroit has kind of famously had some bad times in the past, but at one time they were, you know, a big industrial city with tons of money flowing through. And you can definitely see that in the art and the architecture, and particularly in the collection at the art museum, which is really impressive. But then there's some things about it that are really particular to, you know, that sort of scream Detroit too. They might be most famous for the Diego Rivera frescoes called Detroit Industry that were commissioned in the early 30s. And they're all about industry in Detroit and car manufacturing. And that's kind of one of my sort of favorite periods for art, this whole sort of modernist period where everyone's got this anxiety about technology, but also fascination with it. So, and they're
sounds
just
familiar.
Yeah. So they're really stunning and beautiful. They're in this courtyard that's dedicated to them, and it's on all sides of you, and they're great to see. And then as soon as we got to the museum, the people at the information desk saw us coming with our four boys and were like, oh, you guys need to go and see the Detroit style exhibit. It's all about cars. And my boys actually are not kids who are that into cars, but it was a really cool exhibit all about car design specifically, to kind of tie in the Motor City thing with the art museum thing. And there were a bunch of really cool cars there. And then they took you through how cars get designed and the aesthetics of cars. And we all did really enjoy that, even though I do not have car crazy kids.
You just brought back up I have to say this on the podcast, even though maybe I'll rankle some people, you know, so like your boys walk in and you're in Detroit and somebody sees boys and assumes they must like cars, right? Like just sort of an assumption.
Right.
And one of the things I'll just never forget when we went on RV trips to the Midwest when the boys were really little and they had long hair, everyone thought they were girls. There was just the assumption,
yeah,
like, oh, they have
those
long hair, they must be girls. So that was one of my memories from traveling in the Midwest. And I love the Midwest. I'm not knocking the Midwest. I loved those Diego Rivera works that were at this museum. I remember seeing them over 20 years ago. And that's frankly one of the only things I remember about this museum, besides the fact that it's just an amazing museum with a world-class collection, right?
Yeah. No, I have the same memory because I also had not been to Detroit for over 20 years. And that is one of the few things I remember from my only other visit to Detroit too. So I made sure we got back to see those and to take the kids to see them.
And there's other major artists there too, right? I mean, if this museum was plopped into downtown Manhattan, it would fit right in.
Right. Exactly. We were, yeah, kind of surprised. You know, I knew this about the museum, but just walking through and seeing kind of all the greatest hits of art history, I was like, oh, I recognize that painting. It's right here. So it's really impressive. And they also, it was good for kids. We had our then 8-year-old with us, And we've dragged that poor kid to so many art museums. And this was a good one for keeping kids engaged. They had, they have an app you can do. We didn't do this, but they have an app you can download that's got kind of a scavenger hunt. And then just in the galleries, a lot of them have a different little scavenger hunt where they give you a little sign you read and you have to go find something in that room. So it kept him entertained. We also kind of get in and out quickly when we take him to art museum, but there were some stuff for little kids, which I always appreciate.
And you have Van Gogh and Matisse and other major artists there as well for the real art fan, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So the museum is a must if you're into museums, and even maybe if you're not into museums, what else did you do while you were exploring Detroit and the area?
So we also went to, this was more of a wild card. I wasn't really sure to expect, but we went to Belle Isle, which is a big urban park. It's actually run as a state park now, as of the past few years. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources took it over and runs it as a state park now. But it dates back to its history as a public park, dates back to the 19th century. And then there's a lot of cool architecture from kind of the turn of the 20th century and Art Deco stuff. A lot of it's designed by Albert Kahn, who is a famous Detroit architect. So there's just a lot to do there, like a surprising amount to do there. You can kind of compare it to Central Park or to, I guess, is it Forest Park in St. Louis? Just one of these big public parks that also has a lot of different museums and stuff. So there we went to, they have a small aquarium, which is kind of fun for kids. It's, you know, not a huge aquarium at all. It's one room, but the architecture again was just really charming and beautiful. It's this Art Deco building with these green tiles, and it was just really cool to look at. And then right next door to that is a conservatory with lots of beautiful plants. And again, that cool architecture from the same era. Then we went to, this was a kind of a rainy day, so I'm sure there's more to do outside exploring the island, but we were kind of dodging in and out of museums, because of all the rain. But we did find a break in the rain and do a guided hike out to, again, an Art Deco lighthouse, which is not something you see every day. It's this marble lighthouse, that they took us out to, and you can't go in it, and it's had some kind of graffiti and stuff, and they actually have it kind of fenced off, but it's cool to look at. And then we did a little hike past that out to see, you can see Canada, I guess it's Windsor in Canada, across the river there, and just really pretty wildflowers and stuff. So it was a pretty little hike.
Now, did you do that? I'm sorry if you said it already, but did you do that the same day you did the Detroit Institute of Arts, or is that a whole, is Belle Isle like a full day trip, really?
We did it a separate day, and you could definitely spend a day there because there are just so many different things to do. And again, if it hadn't been raining and we'd been able to spend more time outside, we could have spent even more time there. But we did pretty much a full day. I mean, it was, we were probably back by late afternoon, but a good 5 or 6 hours we were there.
Well, I just can't wait to get back to Detroit. It's been so long. So anything else on Belle Isle, or do you want to talk about the Henry Ford?
Well, one more thing on Belle Isle. They have the Great Lakes Museum, which we were really impressed with. They have, again, I wasn't sure what to expect. It looked like just kind of a little museum, but there was a ton to see in there. They've reassembled this gentleman's lounge from an old ship that used to like go from, where did it go from? I wrote it down, Detroit to Cleveland or Detroit to Buffalo, like an overnight trip. You would do that. And when the boat was decommissioned, they took this Gothic lounge and reassembled it as like the lobby of the museum with all these stained glass windows and everything. So that was beautiful. And then they also have the pilot house from the William Clay Ford, which was a freighter on the lakes. And it was the freighter that actually went out and looked for survivors from when the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in the 70s. So that was cool to see too. So they have a lot of stuff in there, a lot of hands-on stuff for kids.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't do Belle Isle all those years ago. I mean, a lot of this is new to me. I mean, I've heard of it, but I didn't realize there was so much to see and do there. That sounds fantastic.
I got the impression it was a lot of like locals hanging out there. So, you know, not as touristy as some of the things we could have seen in Detroit.
So the Henry Ford, a bit more touristy?
Yes, although lots of locals there too, but yes, a bit more touristy. So that was actually how we wound up in Detroit this summer, is that we had bought a membership to the Henry Ford in 2019 for a planned 2020 Michigan trip that, of course, did not happen. So the people at the Henry Ford were kind enough to put that membership on hold so that we could use it this past summer. So we wanted to make sure that we got our money's worth out of that membership. And we definitely did. I think we went there four separate times during the week that we were there.
Oh my gosh, four separate times. So it's immense then. It's pretty big.
It's very, very big. And we were in the Wayne County Fairgrounds was pretty close to it. I think 15, 20 minutes away. So it was pretty convenient too. So this is, you know, a museum that was founded by Henry Ford. It's called the Museum of American Innovation. And so it's this sort of, you know, heartfelt tribute to American innovation. And there are all the cars you might expect in a museum that Henry Ford founded, but there's just tons of other stuff too. There's planes and there's trains and there was an exhibit on Jim Henson while we were there, which I think is a temporary exhibit. But then maybe of interest to the RV Atlas audience, there was a retrospective on the history of the American road trip, which I found really fascinating. They would have like rooms from old roadside hotels set up so you could see what that would have looked like, and some RVs and all kinds of things with that. You can go in the bus that Rosa Parks, where Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, and they'll tell you like what seat she was in and all of that kind of thing. And if you go on the website, there's like a fascinating history about how they got this bus and how they knew that it, you know, how they did the research to know it was the bus, because it had pretty much been sitting in a field for decades. And they even have the chair that Abraham Lincoln was sitting in when he was assassinated. So this really eclectic and fascinating collection there.
So it's not hyper focused on the history of Ford per se. It is a history of American innovation. Did it really feel like it lived up to that grand name?
It did. I mean, it's huge and impressive. And yeah. Just so much to see. And I think we spent two pretty long days there, and I'm sure there was tons of stuff that we didn't see inside the museum. But then it's also part of this huge museum complex that also includes Greenfield Village, which is kind of a living history, but it's not, you know, usually if you go to a living history museum, it's going to be focused on one particular place and era. Whereas this, they've kind of brought in buildings from all over the place, all over the country. And then there's even a house from the Cotswolds in England too. So, and they have it divided into all these neighborhoods. And so you can kind of explore all different time periods and areas. They have like the Wright Brothers workshop or the Wright Brothers bicycle shop here and the Wright Brothers boyhood home. And you can tour through those, and they're the actual buildings. They moved them here from Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, that is and so then, cool.
Yeah. And then Thomas Edison's workshop, and you can tour through there, and just tons and tons and tons of stuff. And you can ride a train. You can ride in a Model T, an original Model T. And we did that, and that was very cool. And they just drive you around the city. That would be a good thing to do kind of as an orientation. We didn't do it that way, but looking back, because they kind of just take you all around and give you an overview of Greenfield Village. So then you'd kind of know what you want to go back and check out. And then probably our favorite thing there is they play on weekends during the summer baseball using 1867 rules. And they play the whole game with two teams and an announcer to tell you what's going on. And we loved that. It was really fun to watch.
Gretchen, you've been coming on the podcast for a while, and I feel like I kind of know what you love and know your travel style a bit and your family's travel style. This sounds like a perfect type of vacation for you and your family. This just sounds like quirky and fun and interesting. Would you rank this as one of your better RV trips? I mean, you've been all over the country. And I mean, the reason I ask is because like people just don't think of like taking an RV trip to Detroit, frankly. I mean, was this an amazing trip for you guys?
You know, it was. And when we do like a ranking at the end of every year. We all make a list of like our top 10. And I think there probably were we saw a lot last year because we did a really long summer trip and saw all of New England. I think there were maybe four things just from this week in Detroit that made multiple top 10 lists, you know, that made our final conglomerate list that we come up with. So, yeah, there was a lot of great stuff.
I mean, after doing the RV Atlas now for 8 years, the thing that just keeps me so excited is you don't just have to go to the Grand Canyon or Yosemite or Yellowstone to have an amazing RV trip. You could literally pick any state in the country And have an amazing, absolutely. Have an amazing RV trip. So we're going to come back in a second and we will talk a bit about Ann Arbor, because Ann Arbor is just a really, really cool college town. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Whether you enjoy the comfort of a luxury cabin, a deluxe RV site, or prefer to try some unique options like yurts, treehouses, or covered wagons, award-winning Jellystone Parks has a variety of first-rate accommodations, attractions, and activities to provide the setting for an affordable and fun family vacation. Our family has been making great camping memories at Jellystone Park for years, and we can't wait to get back and see Yogi Bear and friends this spring and summer. Jellystone Park locations have everything you and your family will need to make long-lasting camping memories. From amazing water zones, including pools, splash grounds, and splash pads, to mini golf, wagon rides, and jumping pillows, Jellystone Park is the best place for family entertainment this year. You will also find many themed weekend events, including appearances from Yogi Bear and friends. You will notice that family fun at our exciting camp resorts is the main attraction. With over 75 locations across the United States and Canada, make Jellystone Park part of your vacation this spring and summer. Remember, it's not just a campground, it's Jellystone Park. To find out more and book your spring and summer getaways, head on over to jellystonepark.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Gretchen Holcomb from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road. And we're talking about taking an RV trip to Detroit and really taking an RV trip to Detroit and Ann Arbor, because Ann Arbor is just a fantastic college town. I think it's one of the coolest college towns in the whole country. So, Gretchen, why don't you tell us about the day that you spent in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Sure. So we it was a really hot day, so I think that kind of affected our trip, because I did find a lot of like outdoor stuff, like a botanical gardens and that kind of thing at the University of Michigan that we would have liked to see. But we did a short walk at the Nichols Arboretum, which again is part of the University of Michigan. And we did a little walk down to the river. I'm not sure what river it was, but there's a river there, and we did a walk down there. And I guess in spring, I think there are a lot of really pretty wildflowers and stuff, or I think they have some kind of, maybe an azalea garden, some sort of flower garden that was not blooming while we were there, but that looked like it would be really beautiful in the right season. And then we wanted to get out of the heat and into the air conditioning. So we went to the Hands-On Museum downtown, which is aimed at kids, younger kids. It's pretty much a science museum, but they have some other things too. And it was a little below the target age. The target age was a little below my teenagers, but it was great for my 8-year-old, and everybody was a good sport about it. And we spent a couple of hours there. I would say probably under 10 or 11 would be a good age for that one. And then we just kind of wandered around downtown for a little while and got some ice cream. And, it's just a cool college town. And I think if we had had more time to kind of linger there, that would have been fun. But it was a fairly quick day for us. We probably should have toured the University of Michigan with my senior, but we did not.
I'm remembering, and I'm going back 20 years. I'm remembering lots of independent bookstores and even, record shops and stuff like that. I mean, does it still have that vibe, or has it become super gentrified and chain store kind of stuff?
No, I think they've got, all that kind of stuff downtown. Again, we just didn't spend that much time there. But I would love to go back and do more of that kind of downtown wandering and go in all the bookshops and all of that.
And Zingerman's Bread. I think I'm getting the name right. Zingerman's is a famous lunch spot that makes famous bread. That's an amazing, amazing place. So any food recommendations from this trip, just in that general Detroit, Ann Arbor area?
Yeah. So the sort of immediate area around the fairgrounds, we found kind of pretty chain heavy. So when we wanted to go out to eat, we mostly went to Ypsilanti, which is a small city about 10 minutes from the campground. So really close. And we found several great restaurants there. They have a kind of revitalized downtown area where the train tracks are called Depot Town. And we ate there at Aubrey's Pizzeria one night, and another night at Sidetrack Bar and Grill. And one night, I think we got to watch the train go by while we were eating, because we were sitting out on the patio. So that was pretty cool. And then another night we went to Arbor Brewing Company, which is also close to that downtown. I guess everything's pretty close to it because it's a small city. But they had a big like beer garden kind of area in the back that was just really kid friendly. And easy to eat out with young kids, and the food was good and the beer was good. So I recommend Ypsilanti as a great place to go get some dinner if you are staying at the fairgrounds.
Now, I consider Michigan to be one of the most underrated states for RV travel in the country. And you're just confirming that because, I mean, we've covered that on a podcast. Stephanie and I have been to Michigan, to Traverse City and to Sleeping Bear Dunes, but we didn't even stop through the Detroit area. And I'm thinking, you know, to take a longer RV trip through Detroit, through Michigan, I mean, you know, going to Detroit, going to Sleeping Bear Dunes, going to Traverse City, going up to the UP, you could take a month-long RV trip to Detroit in the summer, and I promise you, you would not get bored. I mean, I think Michigan is an amazing, amazing state for camping. Now, have you guys spent time in Michigan otherwise, other than this trip?
We haven't. That was that trip that you just described is what we had planned for 2020, and we would love to actually get to do it someday. But this past summer, we weren't able to completely recreate it because we had some family obligations that took us to other parts of the country. But that's definitely on my list of big summer trips that we want to do is all around Michigan. And maybe I have a plan to someday do a Lake Superior circle tour and do the Upper Peninsula and then all the way around in Canada.
I think one of the great benefits to a trip like that right now is I think you would do okay getting your campground reservations. I just don't see it being packed from campground to campground to campground like so many of the more popular destinations in the country, frankly. So we're going to come back in a second and we'll wrap up the show. And I just have a couple more questions for Gretchen. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing. Go RVing's website, GoRVing.com, is packed with incredible stories and tips and tricks that will inspire you to get the most out of your RV and enjoy every second of life on the road, at the campground, or somewhere far off grid. And GoRVing.com's This Is RVing tab is a great place to start your journey. Do you want to hit the road with your furry friend and see America together? RVing is a perfect way to travel with your pets. Check out GoRVing's Possum Adventures under the This Is RVing tab, and you will find tips and tricks for traveling with your favorite beloved pet and great information about campgrounds that have amazing puppy parks and other pet-friendly activities and amenities. Have you ever dreamed about leaving your 9-to-5 behind and working remotely while traveling full-time in your RV? Check out Heath and Alyssa Padgett's Beginner's Guide to Earning Remote Income for a step-by-step guide to earning a living while traveling across America in your RV. Go RVing's This Is RVing tab is absolutely packed with tips and tricks from RVers who have been there and done that. And this is just a small sample of the inspiring content you will find there. To find out more about RVing or find a dealer or a campground near you, head on over to GoRVing.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here with Gretchen Holcomb from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road. And she just gave us a great recap of her RV trip to Detroit, a couple places to stay, and a whole bunch of really cool things to do in Detroit and Ann Arbor. And just to wrap up the show here, Gretchen, what are you guys have planned for this summer? You typically take a big RV trip every single summer.
We do. We try to. So this summer, we're calling it Mountains, Mountains, and More Mountains. And we are going to go out west to the Rockies and meet up with my in-laws in Santa Fe and then Durango, Colorado, and then go up through Utah to Montana and spend a while in Montana and do Glacier National Park and some of the other cities of Montana before we head back east. And we're going to do Theodore Roosevelt National Park and then back down towards home.
I'm so greedy and selfish. The whole time you're saying that, I'm like, that's a podcast. That's a podcast. That's a podcast. And I'm sorry to turn you into just a commodity that comes onto the show to do podcasts. And you had the top ranked episode of the year last year, right? Or you had a couple of the top, but you had number one for sure, right?
Yeah, people just love me, or they love, you know, Niagara Falls. I don't know.
Or they love you and Niagara Falls.
Maybe so.
So, and how's the new rig treating you? I mean, your RV is like a year old now, right?
Yes, it's coming up on we have to get out there and make sure there's no warranty work that we need done before the warranty expires. But no, it's been great. We've been really happy with it. We, as always with kid activities, haven't gotten out as much during the school year as we would like to, but it did great on the long trip. You know, we kind of did, I think we did a 2-night trip, and then when we first got it, and then we took it on an 8-week trip, and it passed that test with flying colors.
So, and what, tell really everybody what it is again.
It is a Venture Stratus 281 VBH.
And the floor plan's working for you guys. You're happy with that?
Yeah, it's this summer we're only going to have three kids because our oldest will be doing a summer job. So it'll work better for three kids than for four, because it is kind of just that double over double bunkhouse plan. But we made it work even with four kids. So yeah.
And you guys always do. So Gretchen, I love that you name your trips. I love having you on the podcast. And a friendly reminder, take lots of notes on your trip this summer and take lots of pictures.
I will do that.
All right. We'll see you at the campground.
See ya.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thank you to our sponsors, to Neighbor, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, RV Snaphead, and Go RVing. To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, head on over to thervatlas.com. And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook. If you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes, and we'll see you at the campground.